Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. The Colorado River, which flows some 1,400 miles through the desert southwest, provides life-giving water to 30 million people. But climate change, a booming population, and competing interests are threatening the waterway. A new film highlights the issues and supports an ethical shift in thinking about water distribution. Today on the program, we're talking about the film Watershed and some of the hard issues about water facing the American West. Joining me on the program this morning is Mark DeSena. He's a Sundance Lab fellow and festival alum. His 2003 film Dopamine premiered in the dramatic competition and won the first Alfred P. Sloan Prize. Watershed is his first hour-long documentary, which he wrote and directed. And Mark DeSena joins us from a studio in San Francisco. Mark DeSena, thanks so much for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's good to be here.
Also with us, Jamie Redford, a filmmaker and producer of the film Watershed. He's worked on many films, including HBO's The Kindness of Strangers, as well as writing and directing Showtime's Spin. Redford also wrote the screenplay for Cowboy Up, as well as an adaptation of Tony Hillerman's Skinwalkers for PBS. His latest projects include The Big Picture, Rethinking Dyslexia, which will air on HBO this October. And Jamie Redford joins us from his home in Marin County, California. Jamie Redford, good morning. Thanks so much for your time as well.
Oh, good morning. I bet I have the pleasure of calling you from my home in Utah.
Oh, terrific. Glad you're in the state. A free public screening of the film Watershed will be presented tomorrow, Tuesday, August 28th at 7 o'clock at the Salt Lake City Main Library. The director, Mark DeSena, producer Jamie Redford, and others will be part of a panel discussion following the film. We'll give you details on that as we go. Later on in the program, we turn to new research into building a more energy-efficient battery for cars. But first, Watershed. Do you think about the water that you use on a daily basis? What more do you think can be done to conserve this precious resource, both on an individual and a policymaking level? Give us a call if you'd like to join us. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Mark DeSena, I want to start with you first. What got you thinking about water in the West? I mean, how did you get started on this project?
Well, I grew up in the West, so I've always been, you know, aware of water issues. I grew up actually during a drought, so you know, we lived through some a period of not watering your lawn, not washing your car. So it's sort of like living through the Depression. You're always, you know, aware of things you don't have. And I also had the good fortune in 2009 to go down the Grand Canyon on half of a trip, and then a couple years later to go down the Green River and the Gates of Lodore. So I was, you know, well versed in the feeling of the river, and I was approached by Jamie and Jill Tidman from the Redford Center. I'd been doing some short films for them for the Art of Activism program, and they said, "We're doing a film on water. Would you like to come on board?" And, you know, I just said, "I'd love to."
Jamie Redford, why is water on your radar?
Well, similar to Mark, you know, if you grow up in the West, it's hard not to be aware of the fact that it is a scarcity, and particularly in Marin County, where I do live most of the time. We have a local watershed there, and when it rains, we have our water, and when it doesn't, we don't. And so I do have a particular awareness, both locally and regionally, about this issue. And, you know, I think you don't have to look very far to see that we have an approaching shortage issue, a big one. And, you know, rather than just, you know, play our fiddle while the loan burns, why don't we start thinking about it now and start to adopt some relatively painless things that can be done both from the very highest level up with industry, agriculture, on down to our own personal consumption.
I want to focus on some of the stories that you tell in this film. Really interesting folks that you've chosen to highlight. But before we get there, tell us a bit more about the Colorado River. It flows over 1,400 miles through the Southwest. Mark DeSena, what struck you about the Colorado as you were researching this particular river, this vital river?
Well, one of the first things that struck me was that as I did research, the 1922 Colorado River Compact divided the river between seven states. And then, oh, by the way, there's two Mexican states that also need the water from the river. And they, back in 1922, they divvied up the water based on an over-allocation. It was an unusually wet period. So from the very get-go, they were dividing water that wasn't there. So it was sort of doomed to get to this point. I hate to use the word doomed because we were trying to make a positive film about water. But, you know, the problems were set a long time ago. And that was a big trigger for me.
You say the Colorado is the most dammed, dibbed, and diverted river in the world. I mean, who are some of the parties? Who are the players in this division, stemming from that 1922 compact?
Well, all of the seven states take their share. 70% of the water goes towards agriculture, and then the rest is for cities and industry. But I think the most telling and most visceral thing that you'll see in the film is that the water does not reach the delta in the Gulf of California, and that's, you know, a huge red flag. The canary in the coal mine is long gone. It was once a 2 million acre wetland, and now it is part of the Sonoran Desert.
That's a pretty dramatic element of the Colorado. It doesn't reach its natural endpoint. Jamie Redford, when you heard that, I mean, what was your reaction to that?
Well, it just seemed like such a glaring case of things being allowed to get dangerously out of balance. You know, when we're creating, you know, as Mark said, we've now created a 2 million square acre desert, and without any really thought, regard, or awareness. I'm amazed as we go around and screen the film how few people know that that has happened. Now, some of that, I suppose, is probably the fact that it's happening in Mexico rather than America, and so there's a sort of an attitudinal ignorance there because, you know, it's not on our quote-unquote home territory. But I think it also reflects a deeper point about, you know, how it is we have been allowed to think of water as something that just comes out of our faucets, and that's all we really need to think about it. And if you look at the cost of water, which is currently, I think, way too low for most users, you know, it's no wonder we're allowed not to think about it. We're really not paying what we should for the value of that water.
We're speaking with Jamie Redford. He's a filmmaker and the producer of the new documentary Watershed. We're also speaking with the writer and director of the film, Mark DeSena. And a free public screening of the film Watershed will be presented tomorrow, Tuesday, August 28th at 7 o'clock here at the Salt Lake City Main Library Auditorium. The director, the producer, others will be part of a panel discussion following the film to talk about water in the West. And if you'd like to join our conversation this morning, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. So the water from the Colorado is divvied up in a 1922 agreement between several states. So what's wrong with the compact, Mark DeSena?
Well, it was based on too much water. They're divvying, I think it was 17 million acre feet that they thought they had, and the average, as they found out over time, has been closer to 13.5. So immediately there's not enough water per the compact. But you know, I think it's the fact that the river does not reach its end is today. Tomorrow, or you know, 20 years from now, where the population is expected to reach 50 million. You know, some of the fastest growing urban centers are in the West. You know, the glaciers are receding in the Wind River ranges and the headwaters. There's, you know, hotter temperatures that are increasing over the region. So it's a serious thing that's happening in the West that I think we just don't want to face. And, you know, by, I think, doing this film, and, you know, as Jamie likes to say, you know, there's plenty of negative stories about water. It was actually hard to do a positive film about water, but, you know, if you're always screaming in a negative tone, people become tone deaf. So we wanted to portray this film with regular people, seven stories that we follow throughout the basin, geographically spread out and sort of water use diversity, and just show people that are doing things about the issue or you know, creating awareness and hopefully dialogue. And that's one of the reasons for the free screenings. I think the Redford Center is really pushing activism on a level of just creating dialogue first, creating awareness, and then let's do something about it.
Well, let's meet some of the individuals in the film. A fly fisherman from Granby, Colorado, named Jeff, is it Ehlert?
Jeff Ehlert, yeah.
Ehlert. Mark, tell us how you met this gentleman.
Well, we had a layout of people that areas that we wanted to cover, and we just started to do research in the area. And Jeff was pretty active in what's they're called Save the Fraser campaign, because much of the water in the area in the headwaters is being piped and shipped over to the Front Range. Most of the water in Colorado falls on the western slope, and it gets most of the snow and water. And the Front Range, where all the urban cities are, Denver and all the developments over there, have very little water. So they're taking water from the western slope. And Jeff's quote, my favorite quote from him, besides whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting, is that they are destroying a natural habitat up in the mountains to create an artificial one down in Denver for a lot of bluegrass. 60% of the water that's piped over there is used to water lawns. So he is in a desperate fight, not only for his living, which he makes a living as a fly fishing guide, but also, you know, it's a place where he grew up and appreciates and loves. So he was on our radar, and after we met him, we just knew he was a perfect character, and that he's a Westerner. He doesn't go for the hyperbole. He just sees what's in front of him and speaks his own truth.
I want to play a clip from the film. This is from the film Watershed, the voice of Jeff Ehlert.
I've never really considered myself a conservationist. I enjoy these places and I want to be able to come to them. I also make my living off of these places. Living here now in Colorado, where the population base is a lot larger and it seems like less water overall, the demand, you can see everyone tugging for their share of what flows out of these mountains. The Denver Water Board wanting to take another 20% of what they've already taken. They've taken 60% of the traditional flows off of it to take care of Kentucky bluegrass down in Denver Front Range area. So in essence, they're willing to destroy a natural environment like this to create an artificial one down there.
That's a clip from the film Watershed. Jamie Redford, at the beginning of the clip, this man says that he's not a conservationist. I mean, how important was it to find voices who fall outside of those who conventionally think of themselves as environmentalists?
Oh, I think that was one of the core ideas that you know, Mark and I and everyone at the Redford Center embraced, is that my feeling is that, you know, no surprise to anyone that we're really polarized right now, that there are these factions and we don't really listen to each other. And yet the West, if you really know the West, is extraordinarily diverse. People do not fit inside of cookie-cutter political ideologies. And that if you really get to know people as individuals, particularly Westerners, you see that they have their own unique way of seeing things. And I think Jeff represents that. He says he's not a conservationist, but if you really listen and look at the way he lives his life, most conservationists in this country could take a page out of his book. And so, you know, recognizing the value of the individual and recognizing that there are people out there just doing what they do on a daily basis, we wanted to show people that really lived on that river and are doing some good and positive things and have really unique and inspiring perspectives on this issue of water. And we don't want, you know, if we're going to go around and screen the film in seven major metropolitan areas, we're not going to get anywhere if we're just, you know, just highlighting just environmental activists. Now, you know, obviously, you know, I hail from a family that long established its willingness to advocate on behalf of the environment. But if we want to pull, this is, you know, 30 million people heading towards 50 living in the Colorado River watershed. If you want to reach all of them, you better represent everybody. And I think the river, the characters we use, is representative of everybody that has something at stake. Mm.
So really getting beyond those labels. Mark DeSena?
Yes, definitely. You know, and it was, I think we made a definite point, too, to not have talking head water experts in the film. And that was, you know, I think we treated the facts that we needed to get across in a very creative way, and was pushed to really artfully portray them with and we used animation and a ton of animators across the board, and of course narrated by Jamie's dad,
Robert, the actor Robert Redford.
Correct.
Of
correct.
Course. Mark DeSena is the writer-director of the new documentary Watershed. Jamie Redford is a producer of the film. They will both be appearing at a free public screening of the film tomorrow night, Tuesday, August 28th at 7 o'clock here at the City Main Library, and will be part of a panel discussion following the film. If you'd like to join our discussion about water in the West, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. We need to take a brief break. We'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. Good morning. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce. Today on the program, we're talking about water and specifically about the future of the Colorado River. It's been dammed and diverted and provides water to so many of us that it no longer makes it to its natural end in Mexico. A documentary explores new ways of thinking about water and using this primary water resource. Two men behind the film join us this hour. Mark DeSena, the writer-director of the film, joining us from San Francisco, and Jamie Redford, the producer of the film, from his home in Utah. And if you'd like to join us as well, 801-355-TALK, how are you changing the way you think about water? You can also see a free public screening of the film Watershed, presented tomorrow, Tuesday, August 28th at 7 o'clock here at the City Main Library. And a panel discussion will follow featuring the director and producer, Jamie Redford. Let's talk about agriculture, the impact of agriculture on Colorado River diversion. Mark DeSena, how much of the river is diverted to provide, you know, farmers with the water they need to grow the food that we eat?
It's slated at 70%, and that number is sort of goes up and down. But you know, and it's obviously a very, very important aspect of our daily lives. And water should be used to grow food. But it's you know, the debate is the amount of water they use because of the crops, some of the crops that are chosen, but also you know, there is an inordinate amount of pollution that goes into the water with some of the industrial agriculture processes, the petrochemical fertilizers and pesticides. And this was one of the characters that was probably the hardest to pick, because, you know, 70% of the water, you know, you could argue that, you know, 70% of the film should be about agriculture, but we chose Dan James of James Ranch in Durango, Colorado, mainly because of the way that they treat the water. They don't use any pesticides. The water that they use, they actually say that once it flows through their ranch, the water comes out cleaner and more full of life with microbes and bugs and fish. So that was an important aspect for us. They call themselves Beyond Organic. Again, a true Westerner not wanting to call himself organic, just, this is the way we do it, and don't put that label on me. This is, you know, we're beyond it.
It's interesting. You watch the film, and this artisan cheesemaker from Colorado, very down-to-earth kind of guy, Dan James, has cattle roaming freely, eating grass from the pasture along with the chickens. And then, as you say, he's kind of created this whole ecosystem to create this product. I want to play a clip from the film and then get your thoughts on it. This is Dan James from the film Watershed.
I think agriculture's role in that future of water in this basin is going to be one of redirecting resources to places that make more sense from an efficiency standpoint. You know, not grow hyper-intensive crops in those areas that require mass quantities of water. Just because the highest crop at the moment happens to be corn, should corn really be grown in that spot? We got to start saying no to some aspects of agriculture, and it could be redirecting certain crops to certain areas, certain methods of irrigation. Take the industrial component out of food production.
It's an interesting thought that he expresses there, saying no to certain crops. Jamie Rudford, I mean, the ethic that you talk about when we think about water will require a lot of discipline.
Yes, and you know, perhaps I feel pragmatic about this. I don't think we're going to get there if we just beg and harangue people to do a better job with water. I unfortunately don't think we really are responsive to those kinds of signals in the ways that we need to be if we're going to make a difference in this case. I do think that we respond to our pocketbooks. And I do think that agriculture pays too little for the water that they use. And I think we as individuals pay too little for the water. And, you know, you look at, sometimes you just see something that lays it out and is in the film. When Jeff Ehlert explains that the residents in the Great Lakes area of Minnesota, the Thousand Lakes areas, I think it's called, are paying more for their water usage than the residents of the Front Range. Now, just stop for a second and try and imagine, as Mark was describing, that water is, the Front Range water is being pumped from the western slope through massive tunnels and massive infrastructure and brought down to the other side of the Continental Divide, and yet it's cheaper than the water that Minnesotans are using from a local source. That's policy. Someone set the price of that water. And why is it so low? Well, you can't have rapid growth and rapid real estate development without cheap water. So it's understandable. And we certainly want to accommodate everyone who loves the West. And you know, I love it too, and I'm here. You know, we want to make it easy to live here, but do you really have to make it, do you have to make water, you know, vastly cheaper than it actually is? We're going to have, that's where policy comes in. We need those changes.
So it's not just the conservation ethic, it's putting your policy where your wallet is.
Yeah, I think, you know, here, we're talking about this now, you know, in a talk show form, and I think it's important to talk about this. But I don't think we're going to get policy change without an awareness shift and just an underlying baseline awareness change. And so that's why this film is really just trying to lay out the realities and make you understand what's at stake. Because, you know, unless people understand what's going on and what's at stake, you know, they're not going to insist on changes in policy, nor are they going to tolerate them. You just raise someone's water rates, you know, it's not appealing. You have to understand why it's happening. And right now, you know, there is such a profound ignorance about water usage that's where we're starting. And we're starting with a can-do spirit in the film because, you know, I don't think you get anywhere by being alarmist, particularly in the western region of the country.
Speaking with Jamie Redford, the producer of the new documentary Watershed, also with us is the writer-director Mark DeSena. We're talking about water and the Colorado River. A free public screening of the film will be held tomorrow, Tuesday, August 28th, at 7 o'clock here at the City Library in downtown Salt Lake. And a panel discussion will follow. If you'd like to join us, if you've got questions or comments, feel free to join us. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Mark DeSena, another major user of water are the extraction companies, the companies that are looking for oil and gas. I mean, that takes a tremendous amount of water, and I think a lot of people don't realize how much water it takes to get that energy, that fossil fuel energy, out of the ground.
That's correct, and the character that we chose, Keith Lambert out of Rifle, Colorado, they live right in the middle of Garfield County, which has something like 10,000 or 20,000 gas wells. I'm sorry, I don't remember the number offhand, but
and he's the mayor of that small town.
He's the former mayor, and it was interesting. He was the mayor when we were shooting, and he had to be somewhat circumspect about how he phrased certain things. But I think now that he's out of office, he'll express his opinions a little more freely. But he comes up against people all the time that, we have, saying to him, we have enough natural gas to last, for the next 100 years, we should be, taking it out of the ground. And his answer to them is always, well, what happens after the 100 years? I mean, we've got to be thinking much further ahead. So, his town of Rifle is leading the charge for renewable energy with one of the biggest community solar arrays in the country, and using electric cars, and just, trying to raise awareness in his own small town right in the middle of gasland country. But I think the bigger threat that we tried to raise as well is the oil shale reserves that are the harder to get. They're basically premature oil wells, and they're doing experimentation where they're heating up the land actually for years and years to turn the rock that burns, which is oil shale, into oil that they can pump out of the ground, and in that time using lots of water, I don't think people are realizing how much more is going to be used, and it's with 30 million people going to 50 million, that's just another stress on the system.
Let's hear the voice of Keith Lambert from Rifle, Colorado, talking about the extraction industry in his part of the country.
As you look out into the surrounding countryside, you will run across approximately 14,000 gas wells. Natural gas is a big economy boost in this county. In the production of natural gas, there's always the use of water.
And I'd have to defer to a geologist to give you all the particulars. What they do is they'll do a downhole bore, cement it off with casing, then they insert blast charges, and they break up the subterranean rock formation, and they put down fracking fluid, which is a mixture of, it's a mixture, I'll leave it at that, because I don't know what's in it, nor do a lot of people know what's in the mixture of the fracking fluids. And then from those cracks, that's where the natural gas is allowed to seep and then export it out.
That's a clip from the film Watershed. And Jamie Redford, I mean, we were talking about the importance of policy in water conservation. And this is certainly another policy issue. People need to reflect on the cost of the water that goes into extracting fossil fuel energies, right?
Yes, I think it applies. That's the good news. This is sort of an equal opportunity problem that needs to be addressed. I'm not targeting any one industry. I'm not an expert. I'm not a water expert. I don't have a degree in agricultural science. I'm a storyteller, a filmmaker, but it's clear to me that that really very few people are currently paying what they should for their water. And then you have some cases, you know, then there's the issue of water rights, which is very, very complex. I'm almost hesitant to even bring it up, but even that is something that needs to be looked at. Here in Utah, you have a use it or lose it situation where water rights must be exercised in order to hold on to them.
Otherwise, so there's no incentive to cut back.
None whatsoever. And you know, I think it's important to admit this. I mean, I'm here at this Sundance Resort, which is a family-owned business, and we have the family. We have a beautiful spread here. And, you know, there are water rights that come with this property. And we are, you know, if we were to conserve the way we would like to and could, we may be in jeopardy of losing those rights. And so then who does get those rights in that case? And, you know, so and there is a time, and it wasn't really that long ago, you can understand, which is that when it was primarily about trying to develop the economy and create jobs and create more of an economic engine, water can do that. So you can see the origins of policy like that, and it's understandable. But, you know, it's 2012, and, you know, we're heading into a period of, you know, if you want to say climate change, you don't have to. How about sustained period of aridity and temperatures rising if it really upsets you to say climate change? Because we can certainly confirm that those two things are currently in place. And put that with population growth, you can't just, you know, look at water as something to drive economic forces. It's a more precious resource than that.
Jamie Redford, you mentioned that this is not all doom and gloom. I mean, you want this film to have a message of hope. There is light at the end of this water tunnel. Why do you see the hope? Where is the hope?
Well, that's the heavy irony, is that there's just so much waste, and you know, there's so much to be accomplished just with efficiency and conservation, and that comes down to the kinds of things I think we as Americans are more comfortable embracing, which is, you know, can we use our innovative technologies to increase efficiency? Can we research our way out of the corner? Can we behave in novel ways to create new paradigms? These are all sort of, at least in my opinion, you know, kind of American values at work. And if we embrace ourselves in that way, we're going to make a huge difference. And I would hope that we all look at it more like a stimulating challenge rather than you know, running from this, you know, you're turning away in despair.
Mark DeSanta, the subtitle of your film Watershed is Exploring a New Water Ethic for the New West. I mean, is that what the new water ethic is? Thinking about water differently, approaching how you live with water differently.
That's exactly it. And I think it does go back, and there's an anecdote about making the film. We presented a rough cut to Jamie and the other producers, and his dad, Robert Redford, came back and said, you know, what about John Wesley Powell? He was, you know, the Civil War captain who lost his right arm. He was a cartographer, one of the first explorers of the West and in the Colorado, going down the Grand Canyon. And his whole thing after exploring this arid land was that civilization and development have to be based on watersheds, which we have just clearly ignored. I mean, we ship water thousands of miles away. We build these huge dams. He's probably not very happy that a lake was named after him on a big dam. But Powell, you know, said this, you know, many, many, many years ago, and it's something that, you know, we say a new water ethic, but some of it is just getting back to, okay, there are limits to where we live. It's, you know, this sort of, Janine Benyus likes to say it's the genius of place. She runs a biomimicry institute. And, you know, it is being aware of your surroundings, knowing that we live in an arid land, and, you know, we need to embrace that there are limits to that, and, you know, let's live within those. And we can do it. We can definitely do it.
So what are some ways that people can get started?
Well, watch the film, for sure. And, you know, I think it's, you know, it obviously depends where you live, but, you know, for us living in an urban environment in San Francisco, it is being aware of the waste that even, you know, as a city person that we do. And the urban character that we characterize or that we focus on is Jimmy Lozama in Los Angeles. And Los Angeles receives, in Southern California, takes about a fifth of the water from the Colorado. That's their share. And, you know, there's so much more of just being aware of the own watersheds in your backyard and knowing how much water that you could be using. Because in L.A., they have what's called the L.A. quote-unquote river, which is basically a cement cement corridor that they just let all of the water that hits L.A. just drain out into the ocean. So it's being aware of that. I mean, there, you know, he uses what's called gray water systems that you know, we use. Another favorite quote of the movie is we use so much water to flush away our poo and our pee, which, you know, in places that don't have water, that is just insane. You use drinkable water to flush away your waste. And the, you know, gray water is the use of, you know, non-toxic, when you don't use soaps that really pollute the water. You can use that water to water your garden. You can use it to, you know, just other uses for it, as opposed to just going down the drain. Mm.
Jamie Redford, just about 30 seconds left, but I mean, what's the takeaway that you hope viewers will take from your film?
Well, I hope that they will watch the film, that they will go on the website watershedmovie.com and look at some of the ways they can help, and everything from guidance about personal consumption to getting involved in a soon-to-be-released campaign to restore that water to the Delta and create a wetland once again. We're going to do it. We are. With a lot of hardworking other nonprofits.
Jamie Redford, he is the producer of the film Watershed. Jamie, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
And Mark DeSena, the writer-director of Watershed. Mark, thanks to you as well.
Thank you, Jennifer.
A free public screening of the film Watershed will be presented tomorrow, Tuesday, August 28th at 7 o'clock here at the City Library downtown. The director, Mark DeSena, and the producer, Jamie Redford, as well as others, will be part of a panel discussion following that film. There's more information at kcpw.org. Coming up next, the low-car battery gets a makeover. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City.